Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Floor on Tuesday, the 23rd of November, recording at 9:22 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And it's another day like yesterday, although maybe a little bit more so, in that we had retreating stock markets in Asia for the most part. Japan was still an exception, getting a little bit further rally in the Nikkei. Hong Kong took the biggest hit, down 2.67%, but most stock markets were lower. Australia down 1.17%. The European stock markets closed weaker, with gains anywhere from 1.6% down, that was Stockholm, to 3% down for Spain. The Americas are also soft. Wall Street was down near its lows for most of the day, then closed fractionally higher. But still, we've got the S&P down 1.43%. That's 17 points. And the NASDAQ composite down nearly 1.5%. That's 37 points. Brazil down 2.4%. That's taken, the IBOV index below the 68,000 level. And against that background, long-dated government bond prices were mostly steadier, although not a lot. U.S. bonds had been quite firm early on. This is bond prices, but then gave up most of those gains, but not all of them. In precious metals, we'd had some early weakness on dollar strength. And precious metals rebounded despite that dollar strength, with gold trading here at after hours at $1,376.60. We have slight gains for silver and palladium. Platinum's down about a dollar, but it was considerably lower at one stage. Now, the dollar's steady generally, but it's big gains. I'm just checking that out. Yes, it is steady generally. The U.S. dollar index is up over a full point to 79.685. The euro's taken the biggest hit here, down to 133.69 as I speak. Sterling is also weaker on this Irish debt problem, down to 1.5779. It's weighing on the UK banking sector. And let's see, the grain and bean complex had been weaker early on, but corn and soybeans rallied from their lower levels. Industrial metals were a bit lower. Crude oil and about unchanged here at 81.44, down slightly. Some of the soft commodities, other soft commodities, were firmer, and that includes sugar. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, very much the term I've been using to describe this in these audios for the last fortnight is corrective phase, and it's something that was not hard to anticipate after 12 very steady weeks to the upside for most global stock markets. They became overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. And any move that's that strong is unsustainable beyond the short term. And so this has spilled over into a corrective phase. And it's done so on the basis of the criteria that I'd mentioned earlier on. You know, it's expect to see A combination of factors, but such as failed upward breaks, downward dynamics, breaks of the progressions of rising lows, overall ranging loss of upside momentum. Well, we see all that, and I don't think that there's a holdout stock market. The very strongest have at least lost upside momentum. Now, given the 3-month prior advance, which is, say, extraordinarily persistent, we cannot expect this corrective phase to end in just a couple of weeks. So I think we'll see a bit more of the same. The main uncertainty is how much sideways ranging do we get relative to the downward reactions. Well, if there are alarmist articles in the newspapers about Ireland or tension in Korea, anything in between the Koreas, anything like that, it is likely to maybe exacerbate the situation here a little bit. Overall, though, I'm reasonably confident that this is the so-called healthy correction, which will bring stock markets back down closer to their medium-term trend means represented by the rising 200-day moving averages, and that will present an additional buying opportunity. Now, conservative investors who want to see some actual demonstration of strength would look for some upward dynamics as we got closer to the region of those 200-day moving averages to signal that the corrective phase is ending or over. I don't think that, again, as I say, I don't think that'll happen in the very short term, and the healthiest thing for this market would be, I think, to range sideways to a little lower over the next few weeks. Not particularly interesting an environment, and it also creates inevitably some psychological pressures as people do experience a bit of profit erosion. Well, that goes with the territory. And my feeling, as I've said so many times, the territory of investing, that is. And my feeling, as I've said on so many occasions, if one's wanting to sell for any reason, best to do it when markets are bounding to the upside, getting some of those persistent advances. That's the time to lighten. Not when people are getting, excuse me, I have to take a little cough. I'm saying take profits on the strength, in other words, not when markets are reacting in a consolidation phase. Okay. When we do get closer to those 200-day moving averages, what's likely to lead the way back up again? Well, I think it'll be the fuller money themes. And I actually put a list of those themes on the website on Friday. Now, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, frankly, I'm annoyed at IG Index for, although I've requested it twice, not yet putting the March contract of U.S. Treasury bonds futures up on the website, because looking at the spot month for U.S. Treasury bonds, they'd rallied up to 129.03 and they're currently at 128.08. And with a March contract in there, I'm pretty certain I would have been doing a little bit of baby step shorting in line with my policy to sell the rallies in these Treasury bond futures and then cover at least part of the position on the moves to the downside, as I've been doing over the last few months. But despite the December contract, futures contract expiring on Friday, they have yet to post the March one on the site. The justification for that is that the volume isn't quite sufficient enough, but I'm not happy about it. But that's showbiz, as they say, and I'm not going to go back into another December contract only to have to roll it forward immediately. But more importantly for all of you, I think that this long-dated government bond market is going to be in trouble here. In trouble because there's too much supply. In trouble because the interest rates are really artificially low. It's been the government's and the central bank's willingness to keep them down with the quantitative easing, purchasing their own paper, printing money and purchasing their own long-dated government bonds, that has emboldened the banks to leverage up and to recapitalize via the yield curve. In other words, borrowing short-term and then investing the money on a leveraged basis in the longer-dated treasuries. Well, all this is going to be consigned to history as the economy does. Show additional signs of recovery, and that will also bring inflation pressures. Now, maybe it takes 2 or 3 years before that happens, or maybe it happens much sooner. But I think that the writing's on the wall, to coin a phrase, that's the way we're going to go. The long-term yield charts for these U.S. government bonds, in my opinion, show evidence that they're bottoming out in base building and that the 30-year bull market in terms of falling long-term yields is over, and that we're going into a secular bear market, which will see yields ranging sideways to higher for at least a couple of decades. So I've said before, I expect I'll be shorting U.S. Treasuries for the rest of my life. Well, we'll see. And hopefully I have a reasonably long life. Okay, precious metals. Despite the stronger dollar here today, gold is firm. Investors like it. It's hardly surprising why. We know that whole story. Gold and the other precious metals in their own right are susceptible to some ranging pullback mean reversion, and they've been getting that. In here, and that may continue for a while, but I think it's very much within the ongoing secular bull market for this sector. Now, grain and bean complex. I don't think the story is over, as I wrote, I think late last week. And if anything, some of the weather news that has come out has been disturbing, not least dry weather in South America, which represents a threat to the corn crop there, in particular. The soybean crop is much bigger, but my understanding of this that a drought affects corn more quickly than it does soybeans, and thus some of the firming that we saw here in today's prices. And my feeling is that this is a very tight supply situation. It's likely to become tighter. So while we've had a good shakeout in these markets, and the wild card really here is what are the funds actually going to do? Because there has been a lot of speculation sometimes under the guise of investment, but I regard these funds piling into trackers and in commodities as really speculation, because broadly speaking, these are clearly cyclical markets, and they get very big swings overall, have expensive rollover costs. So I don't think it's really an investment area. But that doesn't mean that there isn't plenty of investment and speculation going on. And I describe that as the wild card. It's anybody's guess as to whether these people will hold on and roll these positions forward, or whether they will say, well, enough's enough and move on to something else. I can't answer that. But I think that fundamentally, we have a situation that suggests that the next move of significance should now be on the upside. And we've had a decent correction, which has taken a quite overbought situation in the short term and replaced it with an oversold situation. So I may increase my exposure. Currently, I don't have any greens or beans, but I may enter that market. And we do have for where we had the expiring December contracts, we now have some March contracts in the spread bets, I've noticed. What else to mention? What about this currency situation? Well, I don't think that the dollar is a fundamentally strong currency, but on a week like this, when every headline is talking about the Irish debt problem, then there can be even weaker currencies than the dollar, as we're seeing. So I think this is mostly a technical rebound by the U.S. dollar, and I don't see any evidence yet that it's over. In terms of the big picture overall, I feel the dollar is range bound. And on that note, roll on tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.